Narcissist, that's a fun topic. I know right now you just went somewhere inside that memory bank of yours and you got a chill thinking about an experience or a person or something negative. There's so much blame and anger put towards narcissism where people feel they're absolved from anything that they had responsibility for in that relationship. We're all narcissists on some level, to some degree. Some are more passive about it than others, that's for sure. But there is where human nature is to experience things outside of ourselves to fill us up and make us feel good, to patch that hole in our soul. And a lot of us look towards other people. Some of it's, you know, it's the usual outlets, the drugs, the work, the sex, addiction, whatever it is. Narcissists' addiction are other people. So we become their drug. And we are partly responsible for whatever anger we have towards whoever we feel didn't treat us in the right way. See, narcissists want the same things that non-narcissists want. They want to feel loved and validated, and they don't want to feel bad feelings. So they have, over time, somewhat perfected their patterns of knowing how to shape and mold and craft another human being into falling in line to what they need. But what are we getting on the other side of it? If we weren't getting something out of it, we wouldn't have stayed. You know, depending on the person, I mean, I was raised by a narcissist. I married a narcissist. About 60% of the women I've dated, narcissists. You stick with what you know. And for me, a lot of it was depending on the person, how good they were at setting me up to making me feel a certain way, to magically this person liked what I liked, and, you know, they kind of, I don't want to use the word put in charge, but in a sense, overtly, I felt like I got put in charge of the activities and what we were going to do, and whatever I wanted to do, they were on board with. But under that current, you know, the undercurrent there was, I'm going to give you these things and allow you to have them because they're within my control and they make you feel, they make you feel good and connected and safe and secure. But what I'm not going to show you, the undercurrent, is you're not allowed to be anything outside of this realm of my comfortability. And over time, you kind of start to pick up and you're more aware and you see things more clearly and, you know, you find more self-value where you're not kind of meeting somebody and just opening up and, you know, I'll do anything just so that you show me love and affection and attention and make me feel good because I don't know how to do it myself. And over time, that relationship erodes because you feel, you realize that you're not being loved, you're being taken hostage. And there is no independence, there is no free thinking, there is no free will. It gets met with a massive amount of resistance. And the way a lot of us were brought up was we had to give up who we were in order to keep that love from our source figures. So it's not a surprise that we carry this on later in life. You know, part of it for me was on an unconscious level, you know, if I could get this crackerjack to love me, the way I feel I should be loved, I will be healed, in a sense. And I kept going to that well. I kept choosing unconsciously a similar type personality. And I don't know if you're ever cured from making those choices, but the red flags do come sooner and bigger. And you can see them further away before you get to that point where you're so far in that leaving feels impossible. It's like a hostage leaving its captor. You know, it just doesn't, there's no easy way out, and it's going to come with some pain and torment. Torment. That's the word for that whole getting out of the narcissist relationship. But I feel like this actually came up from somebody. You know, we take that narcissist that raised us, and we become that narcissist to ourselves. You know, we become very self-critical, very judgmental. There is no independence. We take ourselves emotionally hostage. The judgment that we had felt and the pressure and the demands to become what somebody else needed us to become so that they didn't feel anything uncomfortable. They didn't feel any judgment, any ridicule, any self-doubt. We end up doing that to ourselves. We basically take that narcissistic power that we've experienced when we were younger on in years, and the relationships that had followed, and we basically pointed that power against ourselves. We have become very judgmental. We have learned to live within that space that feels safe, where we're not going to be judged and we're not going to feel uncomfortable feelings. And there's a pattern, just like every relationship ends up having patterns. You know, we have patterns with ourselves, and we don't treat ourselves well. We treat ourselves covertly, harshly. You know, we have those tapes, or, you know, I don't want to use voices because that just doesn't sound right. There's these tapes of messages that we've internalized, you know, things like, who do you think you are? I'll give you something to cry about. What do you have to be sad about? It wasn't that bad. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear from you. You're not a man. Men are stupid. Men are evil. Men are vicious. You know, just this constant barrage of these catchphrases that you've internalized and turned against yourself. These tapes play silently within you, where you're just so self-critical that you feel like you're in a relationship with a narcissist. You don't have freedom of choice. You don't have an independence that you want, a freedom that you want. There's nobody there watching you or judging you except you and these tapes that keep playing over and over, that we don't even hear them anymore. You know, sometimes I hear my kids say, "Oh, that was so stupid. I was so stupid." And I'm like, you can't say that. You just can't say that to yourself. You have no idea how damaging that is, how much that is going to just stay imprinted. You know, I don't tell my children they're stupid, but yet they speak those words and out loud, and it's just so painful. Undoing the narcissism that we put against ourselves is impossible if we don't know that we're doing it. It's hard to pick up those words and those phrases that we're constantly bombarding ourselves with. You know, we can't think our way out of what we're in. We have to start acting our way into the way we want to be. And it's just, think about that relationship you had with somebody who was very controlling and manipulating and demanding. I have a feeling if you're listening to this, you're doing that to yourself. I've done it to myself my whole life, and I still battle with that. I still battle with those tapes that run in the background. I still battle with the self-judgment. I still battle with the indecisiveness and the fear of putting myself out there. You know, when you're in one of those relationships, you're not allowed to have friends outside of the relationship. You're not allowed to do anything that's going to make this other person feel uncomfortable, because then you're going to have to feel the wrath of their judgment. You're very cautious. You're waiting for that shoe to drop, for when that explosion is coming. You don't want to disappoint them and feel that. But we're doing that to ourselves. We have taken away our freedom. It may have been taken away from us at first, but we are the only things that stop us. You know, holding on to anger to those relationships and those people in your life who are narcissistic to you, there's a responsibility that we took in that. And I know that's not a popular statement, but we have to stop doing that to ourselves. We have to start finding more independence and more freedom of choice within ourselves. And it can be simple things. You know, I was never a big exercise guy, you know, and now I'm finding myself doing that more. The cooking thing I had mentioned before, I started to do more. Like, these were things that, you know, I just put myself in this box, and for some reason I'm like, these are just things that I don't do, because I wasn't allowing myself any freedom. I learned how to live in this safe little space without upsetting myself or putting myself into places where I can feel uncomfortable and judged and ridiculed and humiliated. And you know, your world gets real small when you're worrying about all of those negative reactions. I guess we just are our own self-judge and jury, you know? And sometimes we have to be easier on ourselves. You know, I think a lot of the relationships that I had gotten into, when people were hard on me, felt easier than they should have, because I was always harder on myself. And sometimes when you're in those deep, dark, lonely, sad places, crumbs of affection feel better than none at all. And you stick around longer than you should have. And we beat ourselves up for staying too long, for putting up with things we shouldn't have put up with. But we were the ones who stayed. We were the ones who put up with it. We were the ones too afraid to stand up and leave. And we have to forgive ourselves for that, because nobody else is going to. You can get all the apologies you want from anybody who you think you need to get apologies from. But if we don't forgive ourselves, we're never going to heal. And we're going to continue to enter into relationships that are not good for us. At this point in my life, I would so much prefer being alone than being with the wrong person. So I've done that way too many times. And it's a pattern. And I can see it. And, you know, I can't be on Tinder at 60. I just can't. So at some point, you have to put the brakes on. And you have to start taking a look at how you are treating yourselves. What those tapes are that are running in the background. What are the negative things, the shitty things you say about yourself unconsciously? And you got to put a stop to them. Start looking to what's good and what's positive and build on that. Don't attach to that negativity. Don't attach to those poor, shitty things you say and think about yourself. You are not your thoughts. We have to get below those thoughts and get to the feelings. I mean, I do a lot of negative feeling work, and I need to get it out of me. But I also have to do the positive feeling work. I have to get quiet and get deep within myself and see what is organically good about me. Doing the negative original pain work is important, but you have to do some positive work. You can't be one or the other. And you may stay in the negative original pain work for 6 months or 6 years, but at some point you got to start moving out of it, and you got to start focusing on your good. You got to look in that mirror and start seeing at least something that you like. Something that you can build on. Something that you feel good about that's yours and yours alone. A belief, a feeling, a talent, an emotion, a sunset, a walk, a sketch, a poem, a word. I don't care. Just find something positive and build on it. And make bad relationships a thing of the past, because if you continue to have a bad relationship with yourself, your external relationships are going to mirror that. If you start to have a more positive relationship with yourself, have more self-worth and self-value and self-respect, the less you're going to enter into those poor relationships. Sometimes you got to tell people where to go to back them off, to give you the space you need to figure out who you are, how you want to be, how you want to feel, and what do you want to do with your life. This is your life. Take control of it. Start looking at your positives, because they're there. There's positive in everybody, even in people I dislike. There's positive. And when you start looking at yourself in a more positive light, you will become more empathetic to others. It's all a reflection. We're projecting, we're reflecting, we're internalizing. To reflect out positive, you have to feel positive inward. It's in there. You have to build on it. Stop beating yourself up. Stop listening to those negative tapes that you were programmed with. They don't serve you anymore. You don't need them. You need to change that tape and start building yourself up. You can do it. Start believing. It's going to take a long time. It is going to take some difficult work. You are going to lose people from your life. There will be a bottom. And then you brush yourself off and you start building yourself back up. Find people you trust to tell your story to. But first, tell it to yourself. Thanks for listening. You can contact me at joeryan.com. Follow me on Instagram at joeryan. And if you want, you can leave us a review on iTunes. That'd be great. All right, take care.